And not those kind of brownies. We do live in Colorado, but not everybody does that here. FYI. Anyway.
Wait, what brownies? This is On Pause It, a podcast by a family of geeks.
This is a re-record because, well, things happen. Technology usually runs really perfectly, and we wound up having a corrupted audio file of our Thor, but it's basically sounded like a 4-second loop of us saying something about hair and then squealing, and it was really weird. I wish I had fishbowl hairs. And I wish I had fishbowl hairs. And so we really can't let that stand as our Thor podcast. So we're going to do a reboot or a re-record of the Thor podcast because it's worthwhile. We can't skip it. And we still have some very salient points on it. Mm-hmm. This is important for parents. So Georgia, can you tell us, would you ever watch Thor again?
I would say no unless we had to redo the podcast again.
Now, why would you, Miss 9-year-old, Furious Girl, not want to watch Thor again?
Because the Destroyer is very scary.
Okay, so there is a villain in here. But that's a heads up for you parents out there who might have a 9-year-old or younger. Because you saw this movie first when you were younger. And you have declared that this movie still kind of scares you because of the Destroyer. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, so
but
that's...
this is not the average scare.
And again, your 9-year-old or younger child may not get scared of the Destroyer, may have different standards for what scares them, frightens them, gives them nightmares, but just know that our 9-year-old is not appreciative of that particular character, therefore this movie...
The sauce is not scared by the Destroyer.
Yes. The sauce is, let's try this again, how old are you actually?
11.
11-teen will
I'm going to stick with that. I think that's a thing we can stick with.
I think he's 11.2.
No, he's 11-teen. I like it. But yeah, so did this movie, do you have any qualms or fears or anything about this movie?
Not really, no.
Okay. So part of what we do out there is to prepare parents and children for if they any of these movies are not going to cut it. And this one might not cut it if you are a particular age. Do you guys remember which movies we've reviewed thus far?
Pepsi.
I like Pepsi, but no.
Hey, until they start paying us, I don't want you saying that.
That's right. I think our post office box actually might accommodate a 6-pack of Pepsi.
Ooh, I know.
What?
Iron Man 2.
Bom, bom, bom. What about an order? What was the first one we did?
Iron Man 1.
And then after that?
Thor.
No.
What was Iron Man 1?
Hulk. Yes. Hulk.
There you go.
And then Iron Man 2.
And then Iron Man 2.
And then this podcast. Thor.
And then Thor. It's a lot to ask you guys to sit here for not one, but 2 podcast recordings. So we're going to kind of fly through this.
It upsets the cast.
True. There you go. That's
but not to the Destroyer level. And it actually makes sense for this to be a little shorter since one of 4 of us is not very... They don't want to see this movie again. So let's kick into it. I'd like to hear from the Data Bites. Let's kick off with some technical specs about Thor.
The technical specs. Thor released May 6th, 2011. Directed by Kenneth Branagh. Starring and introducing as these characters, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Tom Hiddleston as Loki, Anthony Hopkins as Odin, Natalie Portman as Jane Foster, who was only in one more movie after this one so far. Clark Gregg was in there, Agent Coulson was in it, a bigger role than any other movies, except for Avengers, he had a bigger role in that one. We have Renee Russo as Frigga. Some other supporting cast in there that are worth mentioning, but we're going to skip over. We wanted to go on to the director, Kenneth Branagh, having a Shakespearean background.
Mm-hmm.
He does great with these characters, and we were watching it, and there's probably a reason that Thor has given us the best villain so far in the MCU, which is Loki, who is villain, not so villain. Some of the best things right there. Other technical specs, it opened to $65.7 million in the opening weekend. It grossed in the United States $181 million, and worldwide was about $450 million.
How does that rank up with the prior 3 movies?
It's a little bit more than Hulk, a little bit less than Iron Man 2, I do believe, but worldwide. But I'm not going to compare it to those. I'm going to compare it to the third installation of Thor, the most recent, Ragnarok.
Mm.
Just to kind of go on to where this character arc has come. That movie grossed $122 million opening weekend.
Wow. Wow.
$312 domestic and $802 million globally.
That's a lot.
So it
I want all their money.
Almost doubled its global intake of money. I mean, MCU is not hurting for money, and we're talking about this as if it's our money, whatever. But what that means is that style of movie is going to be continued to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason that I look at box office, is we're talking about this. We're doing this podcast after The Last Jedi has kind of calmed down.
Mm.
It's made $1.2
billion. $1 billion.
Right. And it's a box office bomb to some people.
Well,
because it's of divisiveness and some of its choices that were in there. So that was kind of the point on that one, where it the third installment made almost twice as much as the first installment. Globally, anyway. So we're going to get some more of these. I think we're going to get some more Thors. Unless something happens in Avengers that we can't foresee, like Thor dying or something, which...
I know, we all have our speculation about that.
I don't, but we're going to do that. We're going to do that in our Avengers pre-podcast, in our predictions podcast.
That's
That's not until...
May 2nd. Or right. Something right then, because May 4th is when Infinity War comes out.
May the 4th with you.
May the 4th be with you, though. That's not a Star Wars movie. You. I know. They kind of...
Same parent company.
That's right. That's right. They own the world. Coming back, if you guys are wondering, the children are actually doing not even a Star Wars or Avengers or Marvel thing, but you guys were just doing a Star Trek thing. We were all doing the May You Live Long and Prosper thing. Let's talk about Thor's superpowers. This particular hero, I'm going to kick things off with the sauce. What's a superpower?
Well, everybody knows Thor. He's Thor. You don't need to explain.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, people in the movie didn't know who Thor was, which kind of... I think that's a little suspension of reality, but yes. He's Thor. So
God of Thunder.
Thank you.
Punches people in the face and knocks them out instantly if they're mortal.
What is... the Dad Abides, you had a comment about that the first time we tried recording this, but the fact that he's an Asgardian.
I don't remember what my comment was.
I totally remember this. This is why I'm amazing.
But he's Asgardian, so he's an alien.
Right.
If you will.
But Asgardians tend to have more power because they are otherworldly beings.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's not human. He becomes human. He gets stripped of his power in this by Odin. And we're going to talk about those in favorite scenes. So he's superpower. He can, what, fly?
He can fly
with his hammer. What about you, Furious Girl?
He can meow meow.
Yes, which meow meow is referred to in the movie by Darcy, is one of the characters. Because Thor says, I must go get Mjolnir. And she goes, what? Meow meow? Speaking of meow meow, which again, I kind of was hoping that meow meow, the fact that she referred to it as meow meow, it's spelled Mjolnir, and it's actually spelled Mjolnir. That didn't balance out the hatred of Destroyer for you, right? Your love of cats, it was not enough to say
it. No, it is, but my least favorite thing is Destroyer. My favorite thing is Meow Meow.
Okay. So
if we were to, say, have you go to the bathroom during the Destroyer battle, you'd probably be okay with this.
I would probably just go in my room, read a book, and take a nap.
And come back.
That's right.
No.
Just find something for your children that would take up approximately 8 minutes of movie time and then have them come back and be like, and we're done. So Mjolnir is a hammer forged out of the heart of a star, right?
The heart of a dying star.
Ah.
When I was little, well, just still am now, I secretly thought that Mjolnir had an Infinity Stone in it. Because think about it, the Destroyer killed everything, and yet...
Mm.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's cool. I think that's a solid theory.
That is certainly not unreasonable.
Furious Girl.
This is something to add on about the... Power Stone thingamabobs.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, we actually see the blue thing, the blue Infinity Stone.
Oh, the Tesseract?
Yeah, the Tesseract. We see it in Odin's chamber.
We do. That's right, because they're walking through Odin's chamber of the vault
and Thor Ragnarok.
And Thor, the first Thor.
Well, here's some things. In the first Thor, there's also an Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the. Well, the gauntlet, you know, is basically a glove, if you will,
and
that goes on your wrist, and then all six Infinity Stones fit on it, and that's what Thanos is wielding in the trailer for Avengers: Infinity War. However, if you notice, It's the wrong hand.
Oh, it was good of you to notice that. Yeah, that was one of the things. And it definitely comes into play in future movies. Thor sets up a lot of, lead-ins and tie-ins. And that's one thing. I love the web that they create through all the other movies. But so he wields the hammer, which nobody else really can do except Odin, we see. And then what else? He's the God of Thunder. Any other superpowers that we can think of?
Fly.
Yes, he can fly. Yeah, sorry, and you had mentioned that too.
Right.
Table. What are Thor's vulnerabilities? What is something or things, people, that distract him from being a hero? Start with Furious Girl.
Jane
does distract him a little bit.
I finished my point. My turn.
Okay.
So I think that one of the major things, weaknesses, is pride.
Yes. I totally agree.
He's too prideful.
I mean... Children, let's look at this. Let's just think about that, where Odin has to banish Thor when Thor tells him, and you're a foolish old man. I want you to just transport yourself into a place where if you said that to the dad abides.
Oh, no.
I would cast you out.
I would run away to Grandma's house at 5,000 miles per hour.
Right?
I would get my bikes first and lock them. I said after I tie him up to his bed, wake him up, and then I'm like, you're a stupid old fool. And I've already packed my bags to go somewhere else.
So essentially you would not say this because the likelihood of that scenario ever being able to happen is not.
Or we could use duct tape and we could just put wood instead of his actual arm on it so we don't kill him and things.
You know, I'm not really liking where this is going because you guys are totally fabricating and plotting ways that you could overpower your dad. Probably not going to work. And we're not trying to give any ideas to any children who might be listening to this with their parents. And your parents right now are most likely looking at you with these very piercing eyeballs saying, don't even think about it.
Oh, wait, I know what they're saying.
I think he's a bit of a warmonger. He wants to fight. He's jumping, he's knee-jerking. He wants to just hop into, let's just fight this out, whereas Odin's like, hey, no, there's diplomacy, there's peace, there are bigger things than a battle because this could turn into something outrageous and you can't quite handle it. So,
those are what makes him vulnerable.
Yes.
His only real weakness is his pride, the way we touched on, mm-hmm. right?
But, and Odin, basically.
But when we say weakness, we say what makes their power go away. We're talking maybe the other DC comics, his kryptonite. That's the most common, most famous one. But the only thing that took away his power was Odin. Mm. So you can't really say Odin was his weakness because he was his father trying to help him. But that was his weakness. He became a mortal man, weak, sent to Earth, and without his Thor's power, and his power was transferred to Meow Meow.
I'm going to have us move to the favorite scenes then, because we just talked about Odin being the weakness. The only weakness for Thor is that he can indeed get his power taken away.
Right, and villains last, I think, is good because this introduced the best villain so far.
So I'm going to start this off. One of my favorite scenes, I think one of the most powerful, well-done scenes in this movie is the banishment. When they are all in that chamber at the end of the Rainbow Bridge and fighting about what just happened. So they had just gone to Jotunheim when they weren't supposed to. And this is Thor and the Warriors 3 and Lady Sif and Loki, right? Because him and Loki are brothers. Thor disagrees with Odin and they start fighting. And that is when he says those dreaded words, guys. You're a foolish old man. And this is finally when Odin realizes, well, you are past the point of no return here and nothing I say is going to do anything. And he has to do the parental thing or implement a punishment here. So what did you guys think about that scene about Odin? And I really do think, and if you guys ever watch, anyone watching Thor, if you ever watch the extras, they actually say during the filming of this scene that the crew was moved to tears because of Sir Anthony Hopkins' performance in this. What did you guys think of that when he got banished?
Wow. I mean, I think Odin's power is a lot. Think about it. He's still stronger than Thor, though. It's Thor hammer, Mjolnir. Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Right?
Yeah.
And he just held out his hand, flew into Odin's hand.
Odin's hand?
Yeah, Odin's hand. Mm-hmm. And he banished Thor.
Wow. How about you, G? What'd you think of the whole banishment scene?
And gave it a 6 out of 17.
Okay, so not one of your favorite scenes. What was one of your favorite scenes?
My favorite scenes was Meow Meow just flying into the air.
Yay. Oh,
flying around.
Do you mean from the crater? At the end?
All the time.
When it went back to Thor, it was just like,
that was so cool. That was,
and then Thor's like,
that was a masterful, like, you're like, whoa. That was just the build up to that was fantastic.
But that's one of my least favorite scenes right after that, when they're like, oh my god, and he's all getting like, I'm like, that doesn't make take track from the whole movie. It was like, okay, eye roller.
What was one of your favorite scenes?
Not on purpose. So, Jane, when they
she meets Thor.
The first two times she meets Thor. First time, she ran him over. Second time, she ran him over.
Right?
And then she's like, yeah, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Yeah, that was a bit slapstick, too. I really liked that. She's like, oh, man, he's having a rough day. Dad, if I had favorite scene.
Favorite scene? I don't know, I think the last battle with Loki was pretty good. So, destroys the Bifrost. Loki tries to trick him again. And he says, I've had it. And boom. And then flies him and then sets the hammer on his chest.
And he's not worthy.
What about you, Georgia?
So, I have another favorite scene. It's when Loki just face plants into the universe.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is one of your favorite scenes. And it's a bit, it's an emotional moment for them, but you don't like Loki, and you're just like, bye, sucker.
No, but it's fun because it's basically like a galaxy pillow, and Loki just ungrips the spear on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose. And he's like, goodbye, universe. And he face plants into the other universe.
Universe. There are a lot of universes.
Wait. I have something to say.
Bring it.
Na 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 face plant into the universe.
And we have yet another crossover into DC.
It's super catchy.
I have another favorite scene. I love the crater scene where Thor, gets Jane to drive him out there, and he is fully expecting to reclaim Mjolnir. Meow meow. And he we'll talk about this at battles, but he fights his way to it. And you have that moment where he gets there and he's like, okay. And he's just smiling down and he's like, buddy, I'm going to take it. And he grabs it and he can't lift it out. And then he just tries to muscle it out. And then finally, he realizes what's happened. He sinks to his knees. And as they're cuffing him, he sees Odin's symbol appear briefly on the side of the hammer that Odin had kind of inscripted on it when he's like, whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, have the power of Thor. And I feel like in that moment, he got a message from his dad saying, no, you're not worthy yet. Maybe someday soon. And so he just feels the total rejection, I think, there. It's real for him in that moment. I love rejection. That scene. But that's one of my other favorite scenes. Any other favorite scenes around the table?
No.
No? What
so
about you,
Will? We will talk about Stanley cameo after we do major battles.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that a suggestion to the person driving this podcast, which is Moi?
Yeah.
Okay. Georgia, what about you?
I also have another favorite scene. It's a major battle, so I also go as well as we should do major battles next. That Meow Meow, the battle where you were talking about it, where he just did all that stuff, but he's like, yay, Meow Meow.
So he fights his way to Meow Meow? Yeah. Mjolnir?
Meow Meow.
Enough of the Meow Meows.
Meowing.
All right, well, let's talk about battles. Because we're slowly segueing our way through this. I'm going to ask Dad Abides, what is one major battle? What was your favorite major battle?
Favorite major battle, I think I said, was also one of my favorite scenes, was Loki in the end.
Very nice.
Because the hammer was funny, and yet, okay, he sits there and he can't lift the hammer off of him.
Yeah.
Set up by the whole thing, and the gravitas of like, okay, I've learned a huge life lesson in this whole thing rather quickly, because it is a movie. And he cuts that off from his life.
Right. Yeah.
At least temporarily.
He makes the bigger king decision, the kingly decision to save Jotunheim rather than say, but I need to go back and see Jane. How about you, Willis?
Okay, so major battles. I've already said this. When it was beating up Destroyer,
I already said. Three hits, done. Final major battle. Well, not, no.
Yeah, because the Destroyer made quick work of Lady Sif and the Warriors 3. So four Asgardians were basically defeated, and he does it in three hits.
Yes. Right. Four semi-legendary Asgardians at that.
They were legendary, too. Yes.
They are legendary. That's a good point. I also like that battle, too, because as we'll bring up in future movies, that battle, the arrival of the Destroyer, actually really causes S.H.I.E.L.D. to take some action, preventative measures, if you will, in the future that are a bit controversial, aka like ally Captain America, that he's not in favor of. That'll come up in future movies where the Destroyer threw them off their game. They're like, wait a minute, we need to worry about some, I don't know, not earthbound things that could come and destroy us. So it causes some of that to happen. What about one of your favorite battles, G?
I already said Meow Meow.
Oh, the one where he goes to the crater, right?
Meow Meow.
I think one of the other major battles is Jotunheim, when he and his group of warriors, including Loki, to take the Rainbow Bridge to go to Jotunheim, and they basically, Thor wants to exact some vengeance because a handful of frost giants were able to get into the vault and almost took, what is that thing called again?
The
source of power.
I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, it was the source of their power, but it was not the Tesseract.
I know what we could call it.
What?
The Ice Cube.
Well, I like the Frost Cube. I'm going with the
Because they have the Frost Giants.
They're Frost Giants, Frost Cube, the Yoden Cube.
But I like eating ice cubes.
We know you do. So that one, I really think that battle is key because you see why Thor is a loose cannon. He's immature. He is all about the battle. And you guys notice that his friends even, they get injured and they're like, we gotta go. He is ignoring them. He's like, no, I'm gonna fight. Doesn't even acknowledge that. And they're just trying to get away so they and one of their people can live. And he finally intervenes when he kills that really big, whatever that big kind of icy frost wolf is. And he like throws his hammer. Oh, he flies his hammer through the guy's head. Remember that?
I swear. Yeah. Well, actually down his mouth. And
yeah. Big hole.
Blah. Yeah. But,
Ice rat.
Oh yeah. There was a real name for that. Yes, I know, but I forgot it's on calling.
All right. Any other? I think those were all the major battles. Very good. Which I think, Dad Abides, you had pointed this out. There are more battles in this movie than there have been in the prior movies.
Right. And that was part of the character development of it. And so he goes through the very beginning and he's disgraced and something happens. He goes to Jotunheim to face the Frost Giants. We see a battle of the Frost Giants in a flashback montage of like the history of Asgard at the very beginning. So we have that battle. Then we have the battle on there where he's flying around and it's basically just, five Asgardians, six Asgardians, tearing up an entire planet. And then Odin comes down and saves him. And then he's fighting in the ER. Right?
I am.
But he's mortal, doesn't realize it, but he still takes four guys to pull him down.
Yeah.
So we know that, okay, he has lost his power because he was taking on thousands of frost giants and winning, and three security guards and big orderlies were handling him. So that was a good point there. And then he had the battle that Furious Girl was talking about to get his hammer back. Then he realizes that he doesn't have the power. He's not worthy.
And he's not going to get it back unless Odin says something, which then I think that's when he finds out Odin says, like, oh, well, I'm done.
Right. And then there's not, it's kind of a story mode to that. And then the very last climactic battle is the next battle.
You had something.
It's about villains, and the Destroyer is a villain and also a hero, because it was a hero when the Frost Giants broke in, and it, like, killed the Frost Giants.
Yeah.
And then it went back into its thing, and then the next time it came out, it was a villain.
It depends on who controls it.
So there you go. It's a tool.
It's a robot. Yay!
I really couldn't have paid you guys in chocolate or donuts or anything to make a better segue into talking about the villains of this film. Huh?
I want donuts.
He's like, well, now you had to bring up donuts. Dagnabbit.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, let's talk about villains first.
I know how to make a popsicle. I can make us popsicles.
Oh, yes, let's go do that.
That takes too long. You guys are going to get brownies later tonight at your friend's house. It's fine.
Yay! I am not complaining.
That's enough. Moving on to the villains.
All right, villains. The Dad Abides mentioned this earlier. We get one of the best villains thus far, and I would venture to say one of the best villains throughout the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, Loki.
Right. Now, Loki's not Darth Vader villain level, right?
No, Darth Vader is almighty.
Especially Darth Vader from Empire Strikes Back. He's not there. However, he is not portrayed as a villain, but he ends up being the villain. We are misdirected to Laufey, the king of the Frost Giants.
Oh, another good villain.
The performance on this is good. We get kind of a backstory on how he was conquering and was conquered by Odin, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. But Loki is the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
Thor's pride is another villain.
Yeah. Yes.
His own internal demons, if you will. Laufey was touted as it, but it ends up being Loki.
I'm surprised Loki never shows he's a frost giant to in any other movies. Like, I think it's just shameful.
Yeah, they kind of just gloss over that and how being on Asgard got rid of his frost giant thing. But this is a movie about space things and hammers out of stars. So
yeah.
We can kind of forgive that. But that is the only time we ever see him become that.
Yeah.
And he goes through the wormhole at the end, right?
Yeah.
He does not die. Spoilers. Ends up in Avengers. But space and time get bent. How long was he there? What did he actually go through? Did he go back in time and had to live 1,000 more years and then came back again? So we don't really... We can kind of conceptualize that and then how that would kind of just be gone from his abilities, if you will. Maybe.
I would have liked to... And I gotta say, Laufey, I think he was so good. Because I just loved the way he was depicted. I mean, he's a frost giant, he's dark. He's just always very, very grim. Doesn't say a lot, but there's just this huge intimidation factor behind him. I love when Odin comes to retrieve Thor and his gaggle of friends to come back, and you know he's like, "Silence, be quiet, I'm trying to smooth this over." And how Laufey just comes right up and gets in Odin's face. He's like, "Oh, father, you look weary." And you're just like, "Dang, that takes some cojones." I love that particular villain, but I do like that they misdirected to make you think, oh, that's the villain for the movie. No, as a matter of fact, it's not the only villain.
Right, and then I think we might have just a podcast backlash, just maybe about the villains.
Why?
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts about movies, about this MCU, about these nerd type of things. And, MCU has a villain problem. I keep hearing film critics say they have a villain problem. I'm like, well, A, then you may be overthinking things, for one. Two, you're not then really seeing who the real villains are.
All right, Stan Lee cameo. What was the cameo? Willis, you have your hand up. Go.
The cameo is by far my favorite cameo of all the Stan Lee cameos that ever cameoed in Marvel in the Marvel Stan Lee cameos.
It's a pretty fun one.
Georgia, how'd you like the cameo?
I like it because he thought he pulled the hammer out, but it was actually his truck.
Just broke his truck in half, yeah.
And we also see the truck later when they're at the store thing.
At the diner, yeah. You see it in the background kind of a little quickly without the truck bed on it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just drumming around he's like, "Hi. Hello."
I just love it because it's so quintessentially American, you know, for us all to be like, "Look, there's a big hammer, a big alien thing stuck in that rock. Let's have a grill out with coolers."
I give it 8.9 out of 10.
I think that what they should have done is, if they're probably really stupid, so maybe not, but... I can't pull the hammer out. I just can't do it.
I can't do it, Captain.
Yeah, but then they should try to break the dirt underneath it.
Try to dig it out.
Elevator's not worthy, but it also is not unworthy.
All right. Let us move on. We're about to wrap this up. We need your final rating overall on this movie. And I recall my rating system for this one. I have decided that our rating unit for this film, and again, 1 is very bad, 10 is the best. That is your scale.
You can only go to 10.
You can only go to 10. 1 to 10. And your unit of measure is... Wait, I'm trying to remember what it is. Oh,
you just said you remember.
Is it Bifrost sand imprints? So those really intricate designs that happen every time Heimdall does a Rainbow Bridge transmission into a planet and you see that big circle of design. That is what we're doing a unit of measure. So let me get a unit of measure from the Databytes.
I give this one 7.5. You know, not perfect, but really good.
Yes.
Really, really good. Maybe even closer to 8.
Nice.
Bifrost Rainbow Bridge Sand Imprints.
7.75, maybe?
7.96.
Oh, okay. Between 7.5 and 8. Very good. The Furious Girl, what do you got?
I learned something in math where you put a decimal point and a 1 after it, and that means 1/10. I give it 1/10. I do.
But you can only go down to 1. That's below 1.
I should have said 0. Okay, so 1/10 of a Bifrost sand imprint.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, that would mean just a line in the dirt. That's useless.
She doesn't like it because of the Destroyer and
that's legit. No one said you were going to like all these movies.
The only reason why I like it is because meow meow.
Meow meow. Okay.
So all the other things are kind of boring just to get a couple of jokes for the Furious Girl.
Yeah. Sauce, what do we got? What's your rating of this movie?
9 points. One for 159.
Okay, 9.14159.
Yes, dot, dot, dot.
Wow. I'm going to have to average these. It's going to be ridiculous. That's what I do, guys. So on the blog, on onposit.com, there's a blog post that goes with each of these as we publish the podcast, and I average the kids' rating and the parents' rating, which means this is going to land somewhere in maybe the fives or something like that. My overall rating is, I think I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10 Bifrost Sand Imprints, because I do like this movie. Kenneth Branagh is always going to be one of my favorite directors. I think they really knocked it out of the park with the casting, which, again, something consistently done well throughout all these movies. The casting is great. This is one of those movies that I like better every time I see it. So, 8 out of 10. What did you guys spend your half-hour screen time on this last week? What was your half-hour screen time?
It was Hypixel, also known as Hypickle, on Minecraft.
Okay, is that a game or a sub-game of Minecraft? Let her answer it, please.
It's a server on Minecraft that I was playing this morning since 1 a.m. to like 7 a.m.
Yes.
She could not sleep.
So for anyone listening, you can, in fact, use the Microsoft Family feature on your account, which I do. And now, children, dear children, now that you're back in school, I have now curbed you back to where you have limited hours of screen time, and there will be no more 1 in the morning getting on your laptop while mommy and daddy are sleeping.
Ah, poo.
I know.
Wonderful.
It's for your best interest.
Nothing else. You can't go back to sleep. You wake us up to let us
6 a.m. is the early... No, 6 a.m. is the earliest time you are able to get on your laptops on weekend mornings. All right, the sauce. What did you spend a half hour screen time on last week? Do you remember? You read a lot, I think.
He actually slept most of the time.
You did sleep a lot.
Oh, yeah. Before dinner, I went to bed and woke up at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
That was like 3 nights in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
in a way, yeah. It was like... I don't think I really used my half hour at all.
But you don't get them. They expire every night.
Yeah, I know. But one day... And mom is going to let me, and you said you would do this, you're going to let me stack 2 at a time, like for 2 nights.
You know, I love the retention that happens when a parent gives something that is not normally given, but then I ask you to retain stuff for like homework and school, right out the window. I see. It's selective remembering.
Okay,
it's fine.
Okay, so I didn't spend on anything, but I blame you. And me, because I've been sleeping too much.
You know, but, you're a growing kid.
Yeah, you said, and you keep saying this, like, this night, that night, that night. But I blame myself because I've been sleeping.
You should, because sleeping, dude. Yeah, what do you want?
Okay, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Do you want to tell them what we're talking about? You can tell them.
Yeah. I want to download the Java edition of Minecraft. You can download it for free.
Have an account. So
or so says you.
Yes,
because we just haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
we
so. Done it yet.
And that's going to let you do what?
That's going to update me to George's update level so we can do Hypixel and stuff, whatnot.
And together.
Yeah, and we can join parties and we can be friends. And I've already joined some parties of my own on Hypixel. It's very fun.
Okay, well, Daddy and I are going to keep an eye on that too, because as is our duty, we need to make sure you're in good spaces. So, hey, what did you spend a half hour screen time on this last week?
I went back to work after breaking my thumb. I just worked and slept.
Yeah, that took a lot out. So that was rough. And I basically spent my screen time trying to figure out what happened to the first recording of this podcast. It's gone forever. It's like Loki in the cosmos, face planting into galaxies. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That's right. So with that, we are closing out this particular podcast of Thor. Next up is
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yes, and so we will bring that to you next. And until then, have an excellent week or excellent whatever you're about to do. You're probably about to go listen to that podcast, so enjoy. And thank you for listening to this one.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, and visit us at composite.com.